Matthew chapter
number 4.
A very familiar piece of scripture, these first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4. We want to preach on this thought today, God being our helper, the temptation of Christ the King. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In these verses, we see the temptation of Christ the King. Now, temptation is common to all of us, but victory is not always so common. If we want to learn how to handle temptation, we're going to have to learn how to handle it from God's Word, Jesus being our victorious pattern. I remember hearing about a man who used a big red stake, and he was trying to teach his dog obedience, and so when he put the big red stake out, he would say no to the dog, but the dog always ignored the master's voice. And the master would do everything in his power to correct that dog. And this teaching and training went on for some time until finally the master would throw out that big red stake in front of that dog, and the master would say no, and the dog would completely stop and ignore the stake. Now here's what the dog did. He did not look at the stake. He looked at his master. What the dog was teaching us is, don't look at the temptation, look at Jesus. It'll make a difference, I promise you. Now, number one this morning, I want us to see the season of temptation. The Bible says Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, please remember at Jesus' baptism, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In his baptism, Jesus was proclaimed as King. You remember the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, and it lit upon him and made his abode with him. Friend, he was proclaimed and anointed King at his baptism. But now, as his public ministry has started, he's led into the wilderness, he's going to prove that he is the worthy King. Friend, I promise you, when you elect a president, he will have to prove his worthiness soon after he is put into office. And if Jesus is going to be King, he is going to prove that he is King. Here's the question. Can the King of Kings handle the Prince of Darkness? Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. Now, the Bible says in Mark 1:12 that this tempting came immediately after Jesus' baptism. I want us to think about this time of tempting when it came. First of all, it came after a spiritual victory. When Jesus was anointed King, that's when this tempting came. Friend, ain't it just like the devil? As soon as you've gotten a great victory, here he comes, trying to slip in, trying to defeat you. You remember what the scripture says? "Wherefore,
Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just when you think you have victory, be careful. You remember Israel. When Israel got out of Egypt and they thought they'd been delivered and they were just celebrating and praising God, no sooner were they released or delivered out of Egypt than Pharaoh came breathing right back down their necks. What about Paul when he had the abundance of revelations? No sooner did he have those than the devil came and ministered to him with a thorn in the flesh. Friend, when the tempter comes, is right after you have a great spiritual victory. Is that not the truth? Further, this time of tempting came after Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, friend, I promise you, when you make the decision, I want to get closer to God. I want to read His Word more. I want to pray more. I desire a closer walk with Jesus. As soon as you make that choice, here come the devil to try to fight you on your decision. I heard it put like this. When God opens heaven to bless us, the devil opens the gates of hell to blast us. So be ready when this time of anointing, hey, when this spiritual victory comes, then here comes the devil. Now, also realize verse 2 said that Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. This time of temptation came when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to fast. In other words, being led by the Spirit and fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was following God's will for his life. Just like the devil, when you try to follow God's will for your life, here comes the devil with a great time of tempting. And again, this time of tempting came 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says afterward that Jesus hungered. This time of tempting came when Jesus showed physical weakness and when he was tired. I promise you, when you get tired, when you get weak, you appear vulnerable. Here come the devil. So the seasons of temptation come when you have great victory. Come when you've been anointed. Come when you're following God's will. And come when you show weakness and vulnerability. That is the season of temptation. Number two this morning, I want you to see the source of temptation. You may say, well, that's easy, preacher. It's the devil. Well, remember, Jesus is led of the Spirit into the wilderness where he would be tempted by the devil. So it is God that is allowing this temptation to come. And the word tempted in the Greek, it is a word that can be used for positive or it can be used for negative. Preacher, how do you know how to use it? Well, the context of the verse always determines the use of the word, whether it's negative or whether it's positive. You see, you and I look at the word tempted and we believe it means to entice someone to do evil. And it does mean that when it's the devil using it. But God can use the word tempted to minister a test or a trial which is intended for your good and not for evil. You look at me funny when I say that. Let me give that to you again. If this morning I handed a blade to a murderer, the murderer will take the blade and use it to kill people and hurt them with. But if I took the same blade and gave it to a surgeon, he would use it to produce healing for someone. You see, it's still a blade. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. This time of temptation can be used for good or it can be used for evil. Are you with me? Now, hear what I'm going to tell you. There is absolutely no possibility that Jesus can sin. He's God. God cannot be tempted to sin. But you hear what I'm going to tell you this morning. Friend, in Jesus' humanity, he's proving to you and I that this time of temptation can be used to make you stronger rather than weaker. You see, this temptation, you can say, no to. And you're to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus can come through it, you can come through it as well. Now, I want to use this verse, and listen to what I'm going to tell you. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament, how he was sold by his brothers, and he went into bondage down there into the land of Egypt. You remember that story? Listen to this verse of Scripture in Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Joseph says, "But as for you," talking to his brothers, "but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." You understand? This temptation that's come to Jesus is meant of God for good, to prove that Jesus is the worthy Son of God. But the devil says, "I'm going to use this to try to show you that he is weak and vulnerable, and I'm going to defeat him." It is an attempt of Satan to hinder. Promise you this morning, when you go through temptation, you may say, "Preacher, I'm not Jesus. I'm so weak. I don't know what I'm going to do." Friend, I promise you, you can defeat temptation by looking to Jesus. Amen. Now, we've seen the season of temptation, and we've seen the source of temptation. I want you to see, thirdly, the strength of temptation. Again, God allows testings, trials, temptations to come, not to weaken us, but to strengthen us. It is not a sin to be tempted. Preacher, I don't know about that. If it was a sin to be tempted, Jesus is a sinner. He's going to be tempted of the devil at least three times right here. And Jesus is beyond reproach. He is without sin. As fire tries iron, temptation will try a just man. Now I want you to think for a second. Do you remember when Israel was in the wilderness? How long were they there? 40 years. Jesus is in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is the number of judgment in the Scripture. Now I'll ask you a question. When Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, did they succeed or did they fail? They failed the test miserably in the wilderness. But what Israel could not do in the wilderness, Jesus can. For he succeeds and passes the test in the wilderness. I'll ask you another question. When the first Adam came, he was in the Garden of Eden. And there he was tempted by the devil. And what happened? Did he succeed or did he fail? He failed in perfect surroundings. But when the second Adam came, which is Jesus Christ, many times on his way to the cross, he would be tempted. And he was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, "Not my will, Father, but thy will be done." All the way to the cross, Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. Friend, I want to say to you this morning that Jesus experienced the full strength of temptation. I want to point it out like this. If you're one of these big weightlifters, you ever watch weightlifting on TV during the Olympics or whatever, they would take that great big barbell and they'd put that up there, man, they'd jerk it to here, and then it'd get it over their head and drop it. They've experienced the full strength. So now that they've accomplished that, they add more weight to the barbell. Can they do it the next? They get it up so far, but they can't take it up any farther and they drop it right then and there. Let me tell you something. Every temptation, every weight that was laid upon Jesus, he was victorious over it all. Are you with me? There is a strength to temptation. It will prove your dependence and your reliance upon God. When God allows temptation to come, it is for your good and for His glory. They say, "Oh, preacher, I'm just so tempted. I'm just so tempted." I remember the story I learned this years ago of a man who was on a diet. And after about a month, he was losing weight and working out and doing real well. But after a month, some of his co-workers said, "We know he's backslid on his diet because he's got a box of Krispy Kreme donuts sitting on his desk that are halfway eaten." And they said, "Why did you backslide? You was doing so good." He said, "Well, I didn't backslide." He said, I asked God, Lord, is it okay if I go get some Krispy Kreme donuts? And he said, Lord, if it's your will, I want you to give me a front row parking place. And he said, on the eighth time around the building, one opened up. So it was God's will that I give in to this temptation. That's what we do. You'll never justify your actions, friend. Follow God, and He's able to deliver you through the temptation. So now we've seen the strength of temptation. Now here we go. Fourthly, we're going to see the series of temptation. This temptation's going to come in three areas, okay? In three areas. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 would tell us about them. It would talk about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You see, those three things, those three desirable areas get us in trouble. And everything the devil offers is something to be desired by us. Lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and the pride of life. Let's look at how Jesus handled, first of all, this physical desire. In verse 2 again, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, for he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Remember, Jesus is in the wilderness, a dry, desolate, barren place. And after 40 days, he was hungry. He was in a physically weakened state. Now, friend, I want to say this. It is not wrong to eat after a 40-day fast. That's not the problem here. Okay, for some of us, it's a temptation to eat too much, but it's not wrong to eat. So what's this temptation about? Let's consider it for a second. The word if the devil uses, if thou be the Son of God. He knew full well Jesus was the Son of God. He even said, if thou be the Son of God. He had heard he was the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. He heard God the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And here came the devil to get after him. And he used the word if. The word if is used to breathe doubt into the soul and into the mind. Has the devil ever hit you with the word if? What if things aren't just what you think? Well, the tempter is suggesting, Son of God, you are in the wilderness and you're going to starve to death out here. You're so weak, you'll not even make it back to civilization. Hey, I heard God say he was pleased with you. Where's he at now? Now that you're hungry, now that you're in a weakened state, where's your God at now? That's what he's suggesting. He's saying, Son of God, why are you out here in the wilderness unattended by the Father? Why are you out here unpitied by your friends and by your family? Why are you unhonored today? Doesn't that come to our mind? What's God done for you lately? Where's your God at now when you're going through a time of sickness, a time of weakness? Where's your God at now? I tell you where he's at. He's on a lofty throne. And he's chosen this temptation to cause us to grow stronger. Hey, the devil's trying to suggest, why don't you take these stones and make them into bread? You remember when Israel was in the wilderness and they got hungry and they began to complain? God sent down manna to feed the Israelites. Where's your manna at? How come God's not giving you something to eat in all these many days? Hey, you can't trust God to take care of you, so why don't you just take care of it yourself? If you're the Son of God, command the stones be made to bread and don't trust God for it. Hello. You see, the devil is trying to say, satisfy yourself. Nobody cares about you but you. Ever hits you with that one? Huh? Yeah, man, a temptation to break your reliance upon God. The devil is attempting to defeat the very mission of Almighty God. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He says, I've got meat that you know not of. I can depend on His Word. He said I can trust Him, and I believe I can depend on the Father to take care of me. Listen to this thought. I will never fulfill my own satisfaction at the expense of distrusting God. You ever done that? You're going to take it upon yourself to adjust and work out your situation rather than trust God for it. And nobody cares for you like you do. You see, these preachers that preach positive thinking, that's what they tell you. They self-motivate you. Go outside the will of God and solve your own issues, friend. The only way you're going to solve this is by the hand of Almighty God. Even in a weakened state, physically, Jesus got victory over the devil. Now look with me, next of all, we see in verses 5 through 7 this test of pride. It is the pride of life, pride and presumption. You remember the devil took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Now the devil's quoting Scripture. The devil will do that. He'll quote Scripture to you and tell you to really mess your life up. But I want to tell you something. I looked at the verses the devil quoted in Psalms. He misquoted it. Ain't that just like the devil to say I'm using the Word of God but misquote it? He probably had a new version. You look it up, Psalm, you look it up. He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He left out the words, in all thy ways. Hey, in all Jesus' ways is to follow the will of God. He left that part out. Don't follow the will of God. He left that part out in Psalms. Now listen, what he's saying is, God said He'll take care of you. And you say you depend on God. You just passed that little test there. You say you depend on God. So if you depend on God, just take a leap. Just jump off the pinnacle of the temple. And you won't never hit the bottom. Because God will send His angels and they'll bear you back up. And instantaneously, you will be recognized by the multitudes and you'll have instantaneous success. Shortcut, cross, just go ahead and leap off the building. Take a flying leap. Tell you something, friend. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a step in the light. God will give you light for what you need to do. Friend, I promise you what Jesus is saying. I'm not going to tempt God. Look what He said. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, I'm not going to foolishly, presumptuously test God. You know, this is what it's saying. I'm going to put my hand, knowing there's a box of rattlesnakes, I'll put my hand in there and I'm going to hold them and play with them. I'm going to presume that God's just going to take care of me no matter what I do. Why don't you stand in the highway when the service is over? Just go down there and stand and see if a car comes at 55 or 60 miles an hour or not and hits you or not. Huh? That's foolish for you to do. And after you've been hit by the car, everybody will say, well, God wouldn't take care of him. That's foolish. That's what the devil's saying. Just jump off the building. God said He'd take care of you. Let's see if you really depend on God. Friend, that's presumptuous to test and attempt God just like that. And Jesus said, I'm not going to do that. That's a wrong way to do it. Next of all, He says in verse number 8, and this is speaking about the lust of the eyes. This is about power and about possessions. The devil took Jesus up to a high mountain and he showed him all the kings of the world and all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he says, just bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. In other words, shortcut the cross. I know one day, Jesus, the Bible says it's all going to be yours. But don't go through the suffering. Don't go through the trials. Don't go through the humiliation. Don't go through the shame. Just bow down and worship me. It's a compromise, right? He's trying to get Jesus to sell out for all the grandeur and the lust of the eyes. Listen. There's been people sold out for a whole lot less. Willie Nelson, the country superstar, used to teach Sunday school to the boys' class and play in the honky-tonk on Saturday night. Until the preacher said, "Brother Willie, if you're going to really teach Sunday school and teach these boys right, you got to pick whether you're going to come to church or whether you're going to play at the honky-tonk." And Willie got mad and said, "The church don't pay me anything, and I make good money at the honky-tonk, and I'll get famous there." And he gave up God, and gave up church, and gave up Sunday school for a good old time picking country music. Boy, I tell you what, I'd rather have Jesus as all the money Willie Nelson could ever give you, or all the fame he could ever give you. I'd rather have Jesus. I could tell you about a young rock superstar named Alice Cooper. He was a preacher's son who the devil said, "Give me your soul, I'll make you famous. I'll give you fortune. I'll give you all kinds of good times and pleasures." And Alice Cooper sold his soul to the devil. That's his own testimony. And friend, I'll tell you something. I'd rather have Jesus than all the fame and fortune the world could ever grant. Jesus said to the devil, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Amen. Number five, and we're done. What is the strategy against temptation? Preacher, I understood about temptation because I have it a lot. But I didn't realize that God could use the temptation for good. And I see that now. What is the strategy against temptation? All three times. In verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written." That's Deuteronomy 8:3. In verse 7, he said, "It is written" again. That's Deuteronomy 6:16. He says in verse 10, "It is written." That's Deuteronomy 6:13. All three times, in all three temptations, Jesus quoted the Word of God. It is important that you know the Word of God. You see, what the devil do is he will plant a lie or a doubt in your mind about God. The only way you can defeat and refute a lie is with truth. The Word of God is truth. One problem that we have in temptation, we don't know the Word of God. We teach it in Sunday school, but we won't go. We teach it in prayer meeting, but we won't go. We teach it in Awana, but we won't go. We teach it on Sunday night, but we won't go. We teach it on Sunday morning, but we count the light bulbs and jingle our keys so the preacher lets us go get in a stake line. Friend, I'm telling you, we need to know the Word of God. Jesus also said this to the disciples, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." You know, you can know the Word of God. You can also pray, "Oh God, help me in this temptation." You know what? The Word of God and prayer is wonderful, but you're going to take Jesus by faith this morning. Now, Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan." And he rebuked him. The Bible says in verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him." Friend, I'm glad the Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Hey, the time of temptation has proved to us that Jesus is the worthy Son of God. The Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen to this verse. Now, temptation's common to all of us. You may say, "I see how Jesus passed it. That's great. But what can I get from it?" 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Friend, God has an escape route for you. I think about the ring-tailed monkey. In his native land, he is the most prized possession of all the tribal peoples. He's a delicacy. They love to catch him and to eat him, but they can't catch him very good. And so they've learned a tactic to catch a ring-tailed monkey. His favorite food is a melon. And what the natives learned was take a melon and make a little hole in the top of it and pull out all the fruit and leave just the seeds inside. And the melon seeds are the favorite food of the monkey. And the monkey sees the melon and he sticks his hand inside the melon, and there is the melon seeds. And so he grabs the melon seeds in his hand and makes a fist, but when he pulls his fist, he can't get it outside of the melon. And he's stuck there. And so the natives rush upon him, and he sees them coming to get him and kill him, and he won't let the seeds go because he wants them so bad. He's so tempted, he can't let them go, and it costs him his life. Friend, what is it that you keep holding on to that's costing you your spiritual life? I mean, just like the ring-tailed monkey is the most sought-after possession of the natives, hey, a Christian is the most sought-after thing the devil can find. He wants to defeat you. He wants to conquer you. He wants to cause you to compromise. What is it that you just won't let go? What is it that you have to have? What is it that you will not say no to? Friend, I'm telling you, if you'd get your eyes on Jesus, if you'd study the Word of God, if you'd pray and seek His face, God will help you to defeat this temptation in your life. And I want to warn you, just because Jesus was tempted there in the wilderness, and when the devil left him, it doesn't mean that he didn't come back again. Luke 4:13 would tell you that the devil departed from him for a little season. And time and time and time again, he came back. But friend, the devil can be defeated each and every time if you and I would just look to Jesus by faith. If Christ the King can gain victory over temptation, so can you and I. I was reading this study that said that those who face temptation neglected their time with God 81% of the time. That's when they got in trouble. 57% of the time, they had neglected prayer. I wonder today, with your head bowed, nobody looking, someone come to the pen, I wonder if somebody would say, "Preacher, I tell you what, I have such a temptation. Sometimes mine's just as simple as this. I am tempted to say things on the phone or out in public, and I know I say too much, but I'm just so tempted to tell it. Lord, I want to get past this thing." Maybe your temptation's to gamble. Maybe your temptation's to drink. Maybe your temptation, I don't know what it is to look at pornography. I don't know what it is. Maybe your temptation is to try to defeat your friends and try to backstab. I don't know. But I promise you today, there is temptation in your life. And the only way you're going to get over it is a good old-fashioned trip to Jesus Christ. While you're even standing in the pew today and you're being tested right now, are you going to go to the altar and serve God and admit, "Yes, I am common, I face these things"? Are you going to pass the test, or are you going to be tempted to stay put and hold on and say, "Well, I'm tempted, but I could do it, I could handle it. I don't want anybody to know that I've got..." Listen, friend, the only way you'll get victory is trust Jesus today.